Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Coltscast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. We've got the show that I promised was going to be yesterday. It took a little bit extra time and kind of looked a little further into the game than I did just kind of first blush. And I wanted to give you guys kind of a, you know, a little bit better of a return on this game. So what I've came up with that, though, is there's not a whole lot of return we can get with these games. You know, as you guys know, this is more of a performance type thing. Who played well, who didn't, as opposed to score, drive success, all that other good stuff. So today we're going to talk a little bit about some news, just a couple of things right off the top, and then we're going to get into a little bit about this game. We'll keep this show to about 20 minutes, nice and quick, and we'll move on. We're going to have another show here pretty soon. Make sure you guys are checking out the other podcasts on Stampede Blue Podcasts. We've got the Stampede Blue Radio, or Stampede Radio rather, with the guys. Hudge, lots of shows coming up, lots of good stuff. I believe there's a really good guest on the Stampede Radio that you guys are going to want to tune into for sure on the next one. Great guest as always, and probably one of your co-hosts on one of your favorite podcasts around if you listen to a lot of NFL pods. So let's get jumping right in, and we'll go to just a couple of things in the news right now. Mathias Farley was waived by the Colts. He did make it through waivers. This is something I was kind of curious to see how it would play out. We thought, you know, a lot of pre-draft anyways, we talked a lot about the safety position for the Colts and kind of where they're at. A lot of teams and a lot of analysts were telling us that the safety position was a massive need for the Colts. I didn't really see it that way. I think a lot of us saw what Mathias Farley could be and has been for the Colts in the past. Definitely a hitter, definitely a pretty solid coverage guy, kind of a playmaker type guy, but not, you know, an elite playmaker by any stretch. So I'm not trying to go crazy with that, but I'm just saying he was kind of a very well-rounded guy for the team in the safety position. You've obviously got Hooker and Gethers and some of the other guys back there, Odom. Well, now they've got a nice little group with Kari Willis back there. I mean, they've got – I really like the Colts' safety room, to be perfectly honest. And Mathias Farley, to me, was going to be kind of the dad of the group, even though he's only been in the league for, what, 4 or 5 years. So I was kind of curious as to see how his role would play out. I didn't realize that he would be getting waived, and he did. And I'm even a little more surprised that he made it through waivers. He's just not that elite guy. He's not the elite talent. He's not the elite athlete and that kind of thing. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me. He will, however, be on an NFL team this year, in my opinion. So that's kind of one of the things I was a little more surprised with in terms of looking at this team pre-draft and looking at them now as they get closer to the 53-man cutdown. I did not expect Mathias Farley to be on the outside. I expected him to be basically the veteran leader in that back end. The Colts are very excited about their safety group, and they should be. I am too. I think it's a fun group to watch. They've got a lot of mobility between these guys. They can move them in the box. They can put them on the edge. They're really interesting in that way. And I think this safety group is going to be a very good one going forward this year. Another bit of news: Paris Campbell, receiver for the Colts, just drafted, of course, after going out early in camp and not returning for quite a while. Has returned to practice, looked pretty good doing it as well. Running some solid routes, doesn't really look like he's got any hitches anywhere in his giddy-up. So I think that you've got to be excited about that. Looking at the Colts' skill position, we've seen Deion Kane. You know, we'll talk about him in a minute. Even a guy all the way down the roster, I would say, not all the way down, but when you're at the sixth spot and you're fighting for position, Krishan Hogan, some of these guys, that's your sixth guy. I mean, you've got T.Y., you've got a bunch of guys here, you know, including Funchess, who's a guy who can go across the middle and is going to have a very specific role with the team. All these things are very interesting skill position-wise for the Colts. So I think Paris Campbell coming back adds an entirely new dimension. I don't know how much they're going to be able to use him in the first few seasons or first few weeks, but he's definitely going to have a role, and his role is definitely going to expand, and I think it's going to expand quickly. So I mean, Pascal, he's got a real road ahead of him, in my opinion. And if he even wants to overshoot Krishan Hogan for that number six spot in the rotation there at the receiver, even just to have a chance to make the roster. He's got to have a blowout game four, in my opinion. I just don't think I've heard enough about him through camp practices and all that other good stuff for him to kind of feel like he's got a spot on this roster. So Paris Campbell back in the mix. Going to be exciting, folks. I'm really excited about this receiving core this year, and I can't think of a long time since I've said that out loud. So let's get into the game. Long story short, Chicago Bears win 27-17 with only one offensive touchdown for the Bears. They had the interception return for a touchdown. They had the fumble recovery return for a touchdown. Outside of that, they did nothing, honestly. And this is, like I said, this is not a game where you're comparing two teams. But the Colts defense largely did their job, I thought. I thought we had overall really good games from a quarterback. We had good games from a running back. We had good game out of a couple receivers. And we had some good games out of the defenders. And I thought a lot of guys showed up and played really well. So let's kind of go through what we saw. And we'll start with Chad Kelly. Kelly opens the first series with a real nice throw. Gets the ball downfield to Mo Alie-Cox. Gets the Colts into field goal range. Vinatieri punches it through. We saw Teray and Jihad Ward, both show improved speed and power combination. The speed to power combination, actually. They both got sacks in the first quarter. We saw Teray get a sack, last week? And we saw him get kind of chipped and bumped, like an over-aggressive bump. It pushed him inside. But watch what he's doing as the offensive linemen are trying to recover. This is where you didn't see him do it last year and he'd get held up. This year, it looks like he is prepared to make that final swipe as he's, you know, actually getting through the line. That's important because it's a natural progression. That's not something necessarily that you teach. It's something that he is learning that is becoming more of a non-thought, like an involuntary reaction almost. And that's good. That's what you want out of a speed rusher as well. I thought that Shippey, as the defensive line, I thought he looked pretty solid. He was cutting through the line, the offensive line, pretty well. And as a defender, he's not probably going to make this team, I wouldn't think. He might. I just don't necessarily believe that he will at this point. But he's a guy that I think that they would want to ship or want to stash on their practice squad. I think he's interesting at the minimum. Benogu continued to get some solid pressure early on in the game. Sharkhendrick West, I thought, looked really good. When the blocking was right, when he's running the ball, he looked good. His vision's there. You can see that he's kind of setting up defenders around his blockers. I thought that he looked real good out of the backfield. The Chad Kelly to Deion Kane combination was something that is looking like a really solid possibility. And I think you look at Chad Kelly as the legit backup in week three in this situation. I'll be the first to admit that I was just like, what the hell are the Colts doing right now signing Chad Kelly? What a pain in the ass. And he is a pain in the ass 99% of the time. And you know what? He's also a pain in the ass for defenses because he can run the ball and he's really showed some real nice poise, some calmness in the pocket, his ability to deliver the ball on time, accuracy. I've been really super impressed with Chad Kelly. And I don't say that lightly because I just didn't think he was that good at Ole Miss. I just didn't. And he's done a phenomenal job to this point for the Colts. I thought that we saw a lot of the catch that we saw from Deion Kane early on. We see another one a little bit later on. West using cutback lanes for a touchdown late in the first quarter that puts the Colts up 10-0. The Colts offense actually looked like, you know, okay, they've got some symmetry here. This is working. You know, even it's the backups. I get that. We all get that. That's not the point. Everything kind of works together in preseason, and that's what counts. Kari Willis, like I mentioned him earlier, does nice job with cutback lanes. I thought he basically had the entire side of the field where the entire defensive line was slanting. He was the lone guy there to make a string tackle, and he did make the open field tackle and looked good doing it. And if he doesn't, that goes for a long gain. I like what Grover Stewart's showing, quick off the snap, getting through the defensive line quite a bit. I've seen him do it the past few weeks, and you like that. Teray got his second sack, beat the left tackle hands down finishes with that swipe I was talking to you guys about a little bit earlier to get that tackle's arm, to get us free from the tackle's arm. Kelly did a nice job, like I said, running the ball. He kind of reminds me of Andrew Luck when he runs. He's aggressive, quick, and will take the hit. You know, I think in that way, once he starts running, you kind of see that. He's not going to just run out of bounds necessarily. He does a pretty good job. I like his decision-making right now a lot. Krishan Hogan will definitely be challenging for that wide receiver six spot. This is going to be a fun one. And in the next show, we're going to really go in on some of these guys about what is going on with kind of the camp battle, so to speak, the 53-man roster cut down, who we're looking at each position. We'll do offense one day, we'll do defense the next. And I think this is it's going to be fun. This year is going to be fun because there's some real hard decisions, I think, to make. I think you like what Hale Hankus is doing. Blocking, receiving, he looks a lot like Jack Doyle in the way that he covers the ball. They mentioned that on the broadcast, actually, and it's just uncanny to see two guys doing it and it just be like, wow, that dude is a secure-handed receiver, and you want that. I have a hard time believing that Hankus doesn't make this team. I really do. You have him, and you've got a couple other guys that are kind of vying right there for that number three, number four spot. And, you know, when you look at what the Colts can do at tight end, what do they need? You know, do they need a guy who can maybe be the Mo Alie-Cox, a little more athletic, that can take the ball downfield? You know, like, for example, Ross Travis here. Well, now you've got Ross Travis and you've got Hale Hankus, and they are legit fighting for that number four spot, in my opinion. You've got Jack Doyle. You've got Eric Ebron. I think Hankus is a little bit more well-rounded. He can catch the ball, and he's a better blocker. The thing that you see with Ross Travis is obviously size. He's 6'6", but he's all about the same weight, you know, as the other guys, and that is kind of interesting. At least I like it. I think that it's interesting. So let's go back to the game here just a little bit, but let's kind of continue in the way that we're doing this and talking just about the team in general. Let me catch back with the interception that Kelly threw. It wasn't a perfect throw, but that interception, you can obviously see that was a strip of Hankus. You know, that was an absolute strip. He came down. It was an unlikely play that occurred, and there's really just nothing that you want to really argue about that. It wasn't a bad throw. It's nothing. One thing on Kelly, however, I wonder how he'll distribute the ball with the ones. You know, can he get the ball out on time? He does a nice job of hanging in the pocket. He doesn't rush himself typically when getting protected. You see a very reserved guy in the pocket. It would be really interesting to see for me to see how he would do with the ones, with the twos. You know, can he play like that when it's the real guys on the field? I wonder that. It'd be interesting for me to watch. The Kelly to Kane hookup happened again a little bit later in the game, that big touchdown for 46 yards. You saw good yak, an excellent throw out of Kelly, and he got rid of it just in time before the pressure arrived. He seems to be pretty aware of when the pressure is going to get there. He does hang in the pocket, and we talked about that with Jacoby Brissett a couple years ago. That's good, but he's also going to be a guy that if he doesn't distribute the ball on time, he's going to take a lot of sacks. So I'm anxious to see exactly what Kelly can do for the Colts. That put the Colts up 17-7. Bonogu, very impressive in my opinion. I think that a lot of you are impressed with him as well. Gets himself nearly a tackle for loss a couple different times. He's busting through the line, getting off the edge. Quincy Wilson had a nice coverage play. The offensive pass interference was called. I don't necessarily think it was on the receiver, but you like what Quincy Wilson's doing this year. He's in their face. He's turning for the ball. He's getting a hand up. The Colts front seven gave up a massive run there right after that OPI call, where they got, 69-yard run, and that just was awful, you know, right up the middle. And several bad angles, a lot of bad play went on in that. Again, another look at Bonogu, just looking pretty good all the way around. Getting through on running plays, getting through and getting some pressure on passing plays. I just wonder how pertinent he can be to the defense against the ones the same as I talk about with Kelly. kind of a thing with Ture last year. Can he actually be a guy who's impactful, or is he a guy who could be impactful next year and we're just going to see kind of the process work itself out this year? Obviously, I just think God, Philip Walker is just not good. Sharkhandrick West was a guy that I wrote down several times. Also, the Colts defense were getting a lot of hits on Bray midway through the third quarter. You like to see that they're getting through the line. They maintain their run defense for the most part. I thought that Walker had a nice throw to VC a little bit earlier or later on in the game after it was 20-7. The Bears went up. Taylor, the corner, I think that he is a guy who is going to really get a lot of looks for the Colts. He has played tight coverage. I don't know what he did in camp. I'm not Shakiah Taylor. I'm not going to talk about what he did in camp because I don't have a clue. He's a rookie out of Kansas. I'm telling you, that dude's got skills. I don't know how long it's going to take him to kind of come to with all this, but he's got skills. He is in their pocket, and I like him. And that touchdown that Bray threw, I don't know how the hell that dude caught the ball because he was literally in his face and had his hand up in the air. It was excellent coverage, and he came down hard. I think he's going to be a fun guy to watch for the future, for sure, for the Colts. I thought Hairston had a pretty solid game. I think that you really like the closing speed by the Colts' second and third levels of their defense. I think that's going to be a huge part of the Colts' success this year if they have it, or it's going to be their downfall, one or the other. If they're not doing that in the game, then it's going to show, and they're going to get beat. But that speed, that closing speed on passes, then breaking up the pass, being there to make the hit as the catch happens, or the catch point anyways, I think that's all very important. I liked what Carroll Phillips showed off the edge, both some bend and some burst, and I think you love that from a guy that's probably not going to make this team. That's a good thing. That's a good problem to have. And Taylor was another guy later, as I talked about him before. He had a couple different plays in this game. They were both successful, but it was kind of like, man, you can't fault him for being in the spot at the time. Another guy, Krishan Hogan, continually are talking about him. He is a guy who is going to legit battle for this team, for this spot. So let's kind of talk about how they did individually. Chad Kelly was 16 of 21 for 209, a touch and an interception. Sharkhandrick West, 13 carries for 43 yards. Looked better than that, in my opinion, because he also had a nice game in the as a receiver. Deion Kane, 3 catches for 74 and a touch. Mo Alley Cox had that big 36-yard reception. The only one of the game for him was the first drive for the Colts. Krishan Hogan caught 4 balls for 35 yards. Sharkhandrick West had 3 for 27. And I thought that he was really good. Ashton Doolin was interesting. Laid out for a ball along the sidelines, almost pulled it in. I think that's going to be a fun guy to watch for the future. Maybe he's one of those try-hard guys with some speed that can, you know, come up off the practice squad in the next couple years. Pascal, one target, one catch. I wonder what he needs to do to really kind of make an a spot on this roster. I just don't know if it's happening. Zaire Franklin had a good game defensively. I thought Jalen Collins was pretty solid, and he needed that. You know, I don't think he's going to make the team, but he needed that bad. Looking just in general, Matthew Adams is still physical. EJ Speed is nice. Kimoko Ture had 2 sacks, not 1, according to whatever they're doing here on ESPN. He had 2 sacks, and he had it, man, 2 or 3 quarterback hits. You saw Milton getting there in the mix. I really liked what we saw out of Jihad Ward, his speed on the interior. Jerry Green, you know, he did nice. Carroll Phillips looked nice. Bonogo looked really impressive. I think that Kari Willis is a guy we'll have to watch. Not a guy who's going to fill up the stat sheet, I don't think, but he's going to lay some big hits and he's going to make some plays. So, all in all, I'm very excited about this Colts team. I'm very excited about what I saw from them in their third preseason game. I think that most of what we are going to see going forward is going to be, how does this team mesh as a whole? Who are the young guys that are either our rookies that are going to be able to make some sort of an impact, and who are the second-year guys that are going to explode as opposed to what they did in their rookie seasons? Who are, you know, is Justin Houston going to be a real impact? Can we expect the same out of the linebacking core as we did last year? I think so, because that's a really deep position now. It's not a great position like it was last year, coming like from a terrible position to a great position. Now it's a great position, and they're deep. And this is going to be fun to watch. I love the safety group. I really like the secondary in general. And I think the Colts are getting a more well-rounded pass rush. You don't see it just off the edge. You see it from the interior, too. And I don't think that – I think the running defense, the run defense for the team will suffer a little bit, because the team is going to have kind of a decision to make. Look, we've got a couple run defenders in the mix, but we've got a real opportunity here to create a ton of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, and that's what they're going to want to do. That's what they're going to want to do. So I think we're going to see some of the run defense suffer a little bit, but this is where the linebackers, this is where those, you know, need for a solid cornerback who can tackle comes in. That's where the need for a safety who can both cover and tackle, play in the box or play coverage and do it all. That's where all these guys come in. They're interchangeable at some point, and that's what's going to be fun to watch this year. I'm so excited for this defense this year, all in all. Kind of the playmaking ability, the sack ability, the team speed. And I just hope that, you know, the offensive line can kind of come around with a new offensive line coach and a new deal that they're dealing with without Googe. And the story was that they didn't really get see eye to eye or like each other so much in terms of the coaching staff and Googe. I don't know how – I don't even know if I'm reiterating that right, but that was basically what was said. But you've got a new guy in there, and you've got basically the guys – a couple guys who were depth last year who are starters now, or started as depth and became starters last year, and now we've got new depth. So this is going to be kind of fun. I'm excited to see what's going to happen this year. This is a fun team to watch. And in the next couple days, we're going to do a offense and a defense, breaking down the 53-man roster. This roster will have to be set by Saturday. That's, you know, close, and that's going to be a ton of guys on the block. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch what happens with Chris Ballard and what he decides to do with this roster afterwards, because we know the roster is set to 53 and then it's blown up again almost right away with new guys coming in and guys going out. So stay tuned to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast with me, Matt Dainley. Also get to Stampede Blue for all your Indianapolis Colts news and notes. Everything else is going to be excitement from here on out, folks. So hang with me. We will talk to you soon right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.